Hey, Trey here. Two things. First, I'm not sure if you know it, but Us and Them was honored with four Associated Press Broadcasters Awards, including one for excellence in public service through journalism. Second, it's the time for the Spring Pledge Drive at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And if you value the work that our Us and Them team does in telling the stories about the things that divide Americans, would you consider making a pledge of support to West Virginia Public Broadcasting? You can call or text to 1-800-RADIO-87, or you can go online to WV Public and find the little red button at the upper right-hand corner. And when you pledge, let them know where you live and that you're a listener of Us and Them. Doing this would be a big help for our show and the other great programming at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And thank you so much. Hey everyone, West Virginia Public Broadcasting's podcast Us and Them won a regional award earlier this year. I'm host Trey Kay, and our episode on oral health care received a first place honor for Best Documentary. The story focuses on how dental care, or the lack of it, can underscore an Us and Them divide, and why dental care ranks so low in the Mountain State, and how there are new approaches to change old habits. We'd like to share that award-winning Us and Them episode with you once again.
This episode of Us and Them is supported with a grant from the Claude Worthington Benedum Foundation.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, it's Trey, and this is me at something I've been dreading, a recent dental appointment.
Do you currently, in the past 14 days, have any flu-like symptoms?
No.
I just wasn't excited about opening my mouth in a room full of strangers. But when I arrive, everyone is taking the necessary COVID precautions.
98.9, perfect. Okay, oops, come on down. It's gonna shoot.
Dr. Melissa Beldentico is my dentist, and she starts checking out my teeth.
It'll look more natural.
And has some questions.
I noticed your gum is really dark up here. Was it always like that?
That's just not something you want to hear from your dentist.
So even though you're rinsing and you think you're kind of doing the right thing, it's 100% from that mouthwash. Combining with something else in your diet that may not be in someone else's diet. I'm not exactly sure what the reasoning is.
I'm not a coffee drinker, and I don't drink that much wine.
And, no, yeah, and it looks like you're having like 12 cups of coffee a day.
Yeah, I don't.
So that's what it is.
Thanks for the confidence boost, Doc. But actually, I'm here because I had one of my front teeth extracted and replaced with a temporary. It's called a flipper.
So, like, yeah, this flipper's in here. I go to a restaurant. I'm not sure what I can eat. I'm afraid I'm going to swallow the thing. I mean, it's. I can't wait until
the thing. Okay, so it's gone. Right?
Yeah.
So we're ceremoniously.
Yeah.
Hanging it from your.
Yeah.
From your rearview mirror.
From West Virginia Public Broadcasting and PRX, you're listening to Us and Them, the show that tells the stories about the things that divide us. I'm Trey Kay. I think a lot of people are wary about going to the dentist. But in West Virginia, there's a big gap between the folks who can reliably access an affordable dentist and those who can't. There are fewer than 6 dentists in half of the state's counties. A state report on oral health outlines more detail. By third grade, 56% of children show signs of tooth decay. Nearly a quarter of West Virginia adults haven't seen a dentist in 5 years. And 12% of adults have had all of their teeth extracted. In a recent national ranking, West Virginia is second to last in overall oral health care. Recently, I met up with a person trying to change that.
Who are you and what do you do?
I am Bobby Muto, and I'm a public health hygienist for Marshall University.
Bobby has been a champion for oral health in West Virginia for decades. First as a dental hygienist, and then as a public health advocate. We meet in South Charleston, and then hop in her minivan. Where are we going?
We are going to Boone County, West Virginia, Madison, to the Boone Memorial Hospital, where HealthRight has a mobile dental clinic that they travel all over southern West Virginia with and set up as a, on a weekly basis. So this week they are at Boone County Memorial, and we will get to see the mobile unit in action.
Okay, well, let's go.
All right, sounds good.
We start driving to Madison, the seat of Boone County. It's in the southwestern part of the state and the home of some of the state's coal mining legacy. In fact, the Coal Heritage Museum is in Madison. Bobby and I are going to visit a mobile dental clinic. It brings oral health care to rural parts of the state.
And a lot of our counties have one dentist, if that. You know, you have to travel two or three counties away to see a dentist. It's an access issue.
Bobby understands some of the reasons West Virginia ranks so poorly in oral health care. There aren't enough dentists nearby, or people simply can't afford dental care.
I think we run into the whole, what's more cost effective, you know, in their mind. When you have to make decisions that are based on economics, and so do you pay $100 and some to have a tooth fixed that may not last? You know, do you keep getting that tooth fixed over and over again, or do you just pay to have it pulled?
So access and cost are a problem, and then there's insurance coverage. Even though Bobby works in oral health, her own employer doesn't include dental insurance.
Even like West Virginia PEIA, which...
What is that?
That is the health insurance coverage that almost every state employee has. That includes myself as a university employee, any teacher, any... You know, pretty much anybody that works that has what's considered a state job, which is our largest insurance coverage in the state, they don't have dental benefits. It's actually written into statute that they can't cover dental. So they can buy a supplemental plan, but that plan is not cost effective. What you pay in your premiums, you really don't get back. So there's that inability to pay.
And all those factors affect people's attitudes.
We don't ask for help a lot of times either. It's back to that, I'm okay, you know, but Johnny down the road.
He's got it worse.
He's got it worse, yeah. If you can help somebody, why don't you help him? Because I'm okay.
But you're not okay.
Then they're not, no. They're not okay.
West Virginians can be a prideful bunch. But not everyone outside of West Virginia thinks there's something to be proud of here. I grew up hearing stereotypes play out over and over, and so did Bobby Muto.
You know, it's that hillbilly, toothless, barefoot, pregnant, and yeah,
moonshine swim.
It is, and then they'll be like, "Oh, you have all your teeth," or "Wow, you're smiling," and it is. I mean, it's that stereotype, but at the same time, it's heartbreaking because I see that stereotype truly play out. That teeth aren't important, you know, even baby teeth. People will be like, oh, we don't need to fix their baby teeth because they're going to lose them anyway. Or, you know, I've had that discussion, I don't know how many times, with like parents of teenagers even. Well, we don't need to fix that because they'll get dentures eventually. Unfortunately, that's kind of a mindset that we have, especially I think all of Appalachia. It's more affordable. It's cheaper. It's accepted. And it's something that we have, you know, we see play out time and time again.
My father was 22 years old when I was born. I think I asked my mother, my father's passed away, but I asked my mother, I said, when you first met my father, did he have any teeth? And she said, no, he didn't. So somewhere between 18 and 22, he had all of his teeth pulled. His parents had spent a good amount of money on orthodontics and braces and all kinds of stuff like that to help his teeth. and he was an athlete. I can't remember if it was a football game without a face mask or a baseball game and got cracked in the mouth with a baseball or something like that. But his teeth were broken, and instead of going and saving them or doing whatever, he just had every one of them pulled up at, I'm assuming he was in college at West Virginia University. Is that type of story typical to you?
Yes. Yeah. It's unfortunate because your dad, that was probably, what, 40 years ago, maybe?
Well, more than 40 years ago.
More than 40 years ago. And that was, that happened then, and it even happens now.
We arrive in Madison, and Bobby pulls in behind Boone Memorial Hospital. The mobile dental clinic is here for a week each month. The trailer is about 650 square feet. And before we go in, Bobby has a word of caution.
It's not your typical dental office, so I think you're going to be like, oh, wow, all these people are in here and on top of each other and seeing patients still. But you'll also see, if we get a chance to talk to some of the patients, they're so appreciative of the care that they get and the fact that there's someone here that can see them. Boone County does have private dentists who are doing their share. They really are, but it's needed.
Wait,
I should put my mask on. We
go inside, and despite Bobby's warning, I'm immediately struck by how clean and spacious it is. I mean, it's not a complete dental office, but it's pretty darn close. There's three chairs for patients, sinks, buzzing machines, the works.
This is Greta.
Hello.
I meet dental hygienist Greta Nelson.
So what you're looking at is a 3 dental unit mobile program. We are set up at full capacity to see 22, 23 patients daily. We're full service, so fillings, cleanings, extractions.
Greta gives me a brief tour. And then a patient walks in the door.
You enjoying this sunshine?
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Adkins is 50 years old and lives about a 5-minute drive away. She sits down in the examination chair, slips off her mask to reveal a sunken smile. Her lips recede back into her gums. Sarah has come today to get the last of her teeth pulled. Greta takes her blood pressure.
All right, it's 164/72.
Right,
you pass.
Dr. Malav Shah sits down to start the procedure. He's gloved, masked, and gowned, and makes eye contact with his patient through a protective visor.
Yeah. You mind if I have a quick look? Is that okay?
Yeah.
He numbs Sarah's mouth and pulls the tooth. The whole process, from start to finish, takes less than 10 minutes.
Everything looks great. You shouldn't have any problems, okay?
Okay.
All right. That's it.
Thank you.
No problem.
Sarah gets up from the chair. She's a little wobbly.
Watch your step, okay? You feel all right?
Yeah.
I follow her outside to see if she'd mind talking with me. She agrees, and I ask her why she uses this mobile dental service. It's a bit hard to tell what she's saying because she's got gauze in her mouth.
Because I just need them out. Every one of them, I think, just about has been infected.
She says every one of her teeth have been infected.
Tell me what the pain was like.
Oh, my Lord. It's pretty bad. Sometimes nothing don't help. Right. So.
Sarah's teeth are this bad because she was taught as a child to ignore them.
Were you able to go to the dentist when you were growing up?
Mm-mm, no.
How come?
Well, my dad wouldn't take me. Yeah. So.
Did he have his teeth?
No. No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't take us or nothing like that.
So are you looking forward to getting your false teeth or your dentures?
Yeah.
How come?
So I can eat good.
How are you?
Hi, I'm Trey.
No, I'm Dr. Shah. Nice to meet you. Malo Shah.
Dr. Malav Shah says he had to take out all of Sarah's teeth because they were not salvageable.
Just the roots left because of the cavity. The entire top of the tooth was fractured and had been fractured for years. So she didn't have access to care and get all this completed before we came along and we started doing the extractions. That's what she needed. With most of the patients we see has not been to a dentist ever. Or maybe they have been in 20 years ago, 10 years ago. They only go when something hurts. And that's the mindset that we're trying to change. And by education is we need to see patient dentist on a regular basis so we can fix things where they're small.
Dr. Shah has been practicing dentistry in rural West Virginia for 4 years. And he says the old way of thinking is starting to change.
So patients came in, they had never been to a dentist. We were able to salvage a few teeth. Then these patients started returning for 6 months checkups, just like you would do in a general practice. So they would return for regular cleanings and checkups every 6 months. So the mindset changed.
The ideal, what you're saying is that education is something that you hope is going to change things. But has it really changed? Or is this, you know, such a big problem that we can only see the change in tiny increments?
A little bit of both. Because, yes, it is a big problem because we can only see a certain number of people, unfortunately. We can only travel to certain counties, and that's about it because, again, limited number of people. The need for the care and even the education is so tremendous that it cannot be established with just one mobile unit for that point.
I mean, Dr. Shah goes off to meet with another patient. Afterwards, I catch up with this new patient, Charles Dolan. So why are you here today?
Get my cleaning, and I've flossed my teeth and... Then I felt something funny. I thought, oh, no. Because I'm 64 years old, and, you know, my teeth's going to start going bad. You know, that's inevitable. But this is a big help because didn't have this, don't know what we'd do. Can't afford on a limited budget to go get dental work done. You know, you have to take away from something you need. You know, food or, you know. Well, I'm going to get...
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Charles has to run, so I prepared to leave. When I run into Brandon Richards, he's the driver of the mobile dental clinic, and he's their pseudo-receptionist.
Yes, I'll go out to the car, ask them their name, take their temperature, talk to them there for a few minutes. I'll go back out to their car when the doctor's ready, and I'll tell them the doctor's ready for them. And actually, I live in Boone County myself. I live in the Seth Comfort area, which is on the other side of this county. So I know a lot of people, and we just talk, and it's not even like work for me. It's kind of just come over here and hang out with your friends and talk for a while, you know. It's kind of...
I hope you're not going to be offended that I'm asking, but you're smiling at me. It looks like you have a nice smile and that you've taken care of your teeth and stuff like that. Has you always done that?
I've just always took care of my teeth. I've seen people from around my house that's got bad teeth. You know, I hate to say it like that, but, you know, they do. And people don't take care of their teeth. And I've seen a lot of people that's been in pain over their teeth. And I want to take care of mine and not be in pain like the doctor said earlier. You know, that's your teeth are, you know, what make you. You know, people like to see a smile. You know, when I smile at somebody, I don't want them to see bad teeth, but you know, it's just a personal thing for me.
Well, how old are you?
23.
So, in 23 years, have you heard like the stereotype of what people outside of West Virginia think of West Virginians? They're the hillbillies without teeth and moonshine swilling and stuff like that.
I've heard that, but it's not really true.
Well, apparently it's true in some cases. I mean, there are people who come in here with some teeth problems.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is true in various places, but West Virginia is not as bad as what everybody gives it credit for. You know, there's a lot of good people here, and West Virginia has some of the nicest people you ever run into. I've been in several different
states. It's interesting the way Brandon phrased it there. There's a lot of good people here. It's as if the assumption is, if you have good teeth, you're a good person. And if you have bad teeth, you're a bad person. I actually actually think, consciously or not, a lot of us believe that because it's what we're taught to believe. Coming up after a break, we may see a pretty smile as a cosmetic statement, but we'll find out our smile can mean much more than that. You're listening to Us and Them. This program is supported in part by the West Virginia Humanities Council and the CRC Foundation. This episode is supported with a grant from the Claude Worthington Benedum Foundation.
Music lifts us up and brings us together, even when we can't get together in person. Mountain Stage brings you live performances on the air, online, and in our podcast. They remind you how it feels to be in a live audience listening to live music. This is Larry Gross, host of Mountain Stage. Find a link to our stations and our podcast online at mountainstage.org.
Hey, it's Trey, and you're listening to Us and Them from PRX and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. After visiting the mobile dental clinic with public health hygienist Bobby Muto, we drove around Madison for a little while.
He was an ARN worker.
And as she showed me around town, she explained how she got into the dental profession. Muto's family is from the central part of the state, and neither of her parents went to college. But a relative suggested another career path.
And I had an aunt who influenced me to go to dental hygiene school because at that time it was a female-friendly job. I could work, have kids, still have my evenings and weekends for family time. Jobs were good, that sort of thing. So I went into dental hygiene. I had no idea what I was getting myself into.
We talked about how we see a beautiful smile as just that, beauty. But the stigmas attached to beauty standards can have serious consequences.
You know, even McDonald's, like their slogan several years ago was, "We want to see your smile," when they were doing a big hiring thing. You have rotten teeth, you're not going to get hired. That's not going to be the face you want of your company. And that's a minimum wage job. You have five people for an interview, the one that may have the better credentials, the better education, but if they smile and their teeth are bombed out, are you going to hire that person? You're not. I think there's a psychological thing too. You know, is that who you want to date? Is that who you want to be friends with? Like, you know, you're thinking, oh.
Can dental care create an us and them divide?
That's a loaded question, but I think yes. It is, because I think the us is the cosmetic bleaching crowns, pretty white smile, and the them is the have them all pulled, toothless, pain, suffering, that end of the spectrum.
The thing is, it's not just beauty. It is health. And dental care isn't just about the health of your teeth either. One of the first things Bobby noticed when she started working as a dental hygienist, oral health and overall health are closely related in patients.
They couldn't eat because either their mouth was decayed and they were in pain or had pain and suffering, or they had dentures that didn't fit and you can't bite into an apple, you can't eat a steak, you know, and things like that. Like, so that does impact your overall nutrition. So how, you know, you're going to eat high sugar foods that are soft, you know, you eat mashed potatoes, your applesauces, things like that. You're not going to eat fresh fruits and vegetables because you can't bite them. You can't chew them. So that's where I started connecting the dots.
Bobby can get frustrated because she says bad oral health is 100% preventable.
Like, there's very few things that you can prevent, and oral health, you know, poor oral health is one of those things that you can. And it's an easy fix. You know, oral health, if you start it out right and get it right from the beginning, there's no reason that everybody can grow up and not
you know, no, I'm cavity free.
But one could be cavity free, but I guess is the general thought that oral health is something that's aesthetic, you yes. know, that you want to have a nice pearly white smile, but that if you don't have good oral health, that it could have an impact on your whole body.
Yeah, I don't think very many people realize that. And I think too, like when you when you go to the physician, do they ask you when the last time you had a dental treat or, you know, the last time you saw your dentist? They probably don't. But they'll ask you, for a woman, when was your last mammogram? But they don't ever ask about your last dental exam or your last dental x-rays or if you had anything like that. So I think it's just really not on people's radar. There's been some movements to include that, but we're still pretty lacking on that because it's seen as a pretty smile, not a healthy smile.
I was hearing a lot of people talk about the connection between our dental health and our general physical condition. So it seemed like a good time to talk to a physician. Dr. Ron Stallings has an internal medicine practice in Madison. We talked on the porch outside of his home while he took a break between patients.
Go ahead and sit here.
Stallings says his interest in oral health got started when he was doing pre-employment exams on coal miners. He noticed a problem.
So many folks around here use spit tobacco or snuff or chew tobacco. And so many of them had what's called a snuff pouch, which is damage to the gums and the buccal mucosa due to the tobacco irritant. And, I mean, some of them actually had to be referred and even picked up a couple oral cancers because that really does predispose one to oral cancer. So it's also terrible for, cardiovascular disease as well. It's one of the big three, hypertension, hyperlipidemia, and tobacco use. So it may not cause lung disease, but it causes all the other things, tobacco-related illnesses. Someone with poor oral health can end up having a heart attack in their 40s or 50s, more apt to have that. Someone who, end up having digestive issues because they can't chew their food. Or someone who can't get a job and ends up in the welfare system because of bad oral health. So you really have to look at the full picture.
Stallings says his mom, like my dad, taught him that dentures were the way to go.
Well, I was raised by a single mom, and my mother did have dentures in her 40s. Yeah.
Well, it's one of the things we've been talking about today is, we learn from our elders, our adults, and if they weren't taking care of their teeth or they weren't going to the dentist, then we tend to adopt those practices.
Yeah, and I think culturally, West Virginia, again, and Appalachia in general, kind of undervalued, I think, oral health. That's just almost like, you're going to lose your teeth in your 40s or 50s anyway, and, get them all extracted and get dentures. A lot of folks don't realize these babies, if you take good care of them, will last you a lifetime.
In addition to his medical career, Stallings is a member of the West Virginia Senate. He, like Bobby Muto, has been a longtime advocate for oral health care in West Virginia. I figured he'd have some answers to basic questions about dental care in the state.
What percentage of West Virginians have reliable access to affordable dental care?
It's hard for me to put a percentage on there, but a lot of insurances don't have dental coverage, and there's a large number of West Virginians that if it's not covered, they're not going to take advantage of it. And I'm not sure what percentage that is.
To be fair, it's hard to track data on exactly how many West Virginians can access dental care. That's because our healthcare system is so fragmented. When they go to the dentist, do you know what is covered and what isn't?
I really don't know what's covered. I mean, for Medicaid and I guess CHIP,
Those plans pay for low-income kids' health care under the age of 19.
It's full coverage. I mean, you can come in for teeth cleanings, fluoride treatment, fillings, etc. You have great coverage. And up until a couple years ago, you just fell off the face of the earth. I mean, there was zero coverage.
That was a huge problem in West Virginia. More than half the kids in the state qualified for Medicaid. They had great dental coverage. But when they aged out, they had nothing.
And so that's where people, again, just never went to the dentist anymore unless they had pain, a toothache.
That means young adults, just like my dad more than 50 years ago, were showing up at dentist's office with terrible teeth. Since then, there has been a push for new legislation on dental care.
Senate Bill 648 is a piece of legislation that will expand oral care services to West Virginians 21 and older on Medicaid. Each adult on Medicaid will receive $1,000 annually in dental care.
The West Virginia legislature passed rules that cover up to $1,000 of adult dental care under Medicaid. And it improved the reimbursement rate when dentists see Medicaid patients.
I mean, before a few years back, the state didn't pay hardly anything, so probably cost a dentist to see a Medicaid patient. And so now the reimbursement rates are better, they're competitive, but it's still hard due to transportation issues and poverty issues and cultural issues to get these families to bring them to the dentist.
West Virginia also established a state oral health program. Now, dental hygienists can provide treatment in schools.
I think that's had an overall positive impact. But the problem is, again, making sure that people take advantage of it. And you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
Why do you think people, or West Virginians in particular, don't like going to the dentist?
I don't know. It's money out of pocket sometimes, or fear of pain, maybe anxiety. Again, transportation to and from.
Would it be possible that they maybe know that their oral health isn't that great and they just don't want to feel judged?
I mean, there's all kinds of personal reasons, I guess. But part of it, I think, is just a lack of education about the real need to have a nice, healthy mouth. It just all boils down to poor dental health, poor oral health, and frequently poor general health because they all run together.
So Dr. Stallings doesn't see much of a culture change in West Virginia. But you know who does? Dr. Malav Shah, the dentist at the mobile dental unit I spoke with earlier.
In fact, we have a patient who's been with, quite a few patients actually, in fact, that has been with us since the start of the program. So they had their 6 months checkups, and since we've been doing this for 4 years, they had about 6 to 8 regular 6 months interval checkups. And they're now to a point where they're thinking not just for themselves, because they're asking questions about their family that, hey, I'm on this 6 month setup now where we go back and take care of the oral needs and do have cleanings and checkups. What about my family? Do I supposed to be doing that? And then that's where the education comes into place, where we're not just changing the habits of one person, but we're changing habits for their next generation.
Changing those habits is vital. Decayed and damaged teeth can prevent a person from eating healthy food. Fresh fruits and vegetables require chewing. So when a person has damaged teeth, a lot of their diet is often soft, high-sugar food. That leads to larger health problems. Tooth loss increases the risk of heart disease. Gum disease is associated with more arthritis, stroke, and dementia. Medical professionals say most people are not aware of the links between our teeth and our overall physical health. As a kid, I watched my dad take out his dentures and plop them in a jar every night. That may have helped shape some of my feelings about my own teeth. I mean, maybe I learned early on, I did not want a mouthful of dentures. I didn't want the pain or the limitations on what I can eat. Over my lifetime, I've learned that our smiles aren't just pretty. They can also be a sign that we're healthy. You've been listening to Us and Them. Our team for this show was me, Trey Kay, Ryan Katz, and Kate Smith. Michael Lipton and Tristam Lozal wrote and performed the Us and Them show music. Mark Lerner designed our logo. Lelena Price provides us with images for the web. The marvelous people at PRX and West Virginia Public Broadcasting make Us and Them possible. So do grants from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the West Virginia Humanities Council, and the CRC Foundation. This episode is supported with a grant from the Claude Worthington Benedict Foundation. Us and Them was originally developed with assistance from the mentorship program at AIR, the Association of Independents in Radio. Keep smiling, everybody. We'll see you next time on Us and Them. Trey Kay here again. That episode from our archives recently won a regional award from the Associated Press of the Virginias. The first place honor was for Best Documentary. Our story originally aired in June of 2021. Your support of West Virginia Public Broadcasting and Us and Them makes this kind of award-winning work possible. Thank you so much.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.